This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till, Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor sent you. We out here. Peace. You wanna sit low on my living room floor, play Nintendo with Seasonino, pick up my phone, say Papa not home, sex all night. Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Hammered Weekend Wear. Make sure you go to hammeredapparel.com and put in the notes OLP. You never know what you may get in that package you order. Also, All Time Low Magazine. Support the real deal Holyfield. ATLmagazine.com. Make sure you subscribe for the 2018 subscription. You're going to continue to see a great partnership between All Time Low Magazine and Our Lifestyle, the podcast. Make sure you tell Rich and Beth, OLP, ODB, and the Mayor sent you. We appreciate y'all. Enjoy episode 57. Orange Beach Invasion, Part 2, with the homie Greg Miller and the homie Chris Stafford from Stafford's Garage. Enjoy. What? Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 57. We're coming at you with Orange Beach Invasion 2018, part deuce. And we've got the homie Greg Miller, the show promoter behind Orange Beach Invasion. We've also got Chris Stafford, the big homie from Louisiana. He's going to be on as well. But first, Miggity Mike, yes, he's on as well. And myself, ODB, we've got Greg, or as I say, the Greg Miller. What's going on, Greg?
What's going on, guys?
Not too much, man. We're fresh off the show. We had a great time. Mike, what you got to say about the show, brother?
Oh, man, I've said it time and time and time again that it's the show that I love the most because I can bring my wife, I bring my kid, and we pull up on Thursday, and we don't have to go nowhere until Sunday when it's time to go home. So if you didn't go, make sure you make plans for next year. But with that being said, let's listen to Greg Miller and let's listen to what he's got to say about Orange Beach Invasion. What do you say, Greg?
Man, we can't thank all y'all enough for coming out and supporting the show. This has been our second year. Really blew us away. A lot of people came out Friday. I was shocked how many people showed up on Friday alone versus last year. And, we thought the rain was gonna hold, you know, we thought it was gonna mess things up, but it just rained a little bit on Friday, and then Saturday they came out by the busloads, man. We just we had a great turnout, and we can't thank everybody enough.
Hells yeah, and I saw your post, Greg. I love the post. It was right to the point, and you mentioned over 700 entries, dude. I was like, hells yeah.
Yeah, we had 699 in car show. And then we had 35 people in stereo, so it was a really good turnout for our second year.
That's dope.
And you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, Jay and Greg, is I see a lot of people on Facebook that keep talking about, you know, the main section, the main area, and guys, that's not the whole show. Everybody keeps taking pictures because that's where the main hub of the show is, but we also have the back parking lot behind the movie theater that was completely packed full of cars and vendors. And then this year, because I was at last year's show, this year they also rented out all the grass leading up to the hotel behind the wharf, and we had cars all the way up in the grass and vendors all the way in the grass all the way to the hotel. So when were, you know, looking at that number and they're like, 734, what are you talking about? Guys, I didn't count every car, but there was a lot of damn cars there.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Mr. Greg Miller. Now, from what I understand, you're a 50-50 partner in Orange Beach Invasion. So how successful would you say the overall show was for you and Robbie from Keg Media?
You know, when we first started the show, we was a little nervous, you know, because the average show, you know, they get a spectator gate, and we was a little nervous about putting on a show where you couldn't get a spectator gate, because to be honest with you, that's what helped pay a lot of your bills. And surprisingly enough, man, this show does very, very great. And like Mike said earlier, I think it's the location. You know, this is a place where you can bring your family. You know, you don't have to go nowhere. So a lot of people come out, you know, just tons of people come out. I do know that I did get an email from the wharf. They actually put those road counters out there where they dragged the little rope across the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Many cars. Yeah, and they did 19,380 cars drove into our show this past weekend. So
wow.
That just, yeah. And, I mean, you got to average a bare minimum of probably 2, maybe 3 people per car, bare minimum. So it doesn't take long to figure out how many people are probably walking around those showgrounds.
That's sick. Now, Mike, that's pretty smart, too, having, like, a road counter. I never thought of that. I mean, but that talk about traffic.
That's a great idea, but I seen Sean Randall hanging out of Vanilla Ice up and down that damn boulevard at least 1,000 times. and he kept playing too loud. He was out there doing burnouts. And talking about burnouts, Greg, tell us the story, man. We had a great story from this weekend that you were sharing with me and Jay. Tell us about that.
Man, we had this guy, a buddy of mine told me, it was a friend of his that was wanting to come out, and he was inquiring about getting a premium spot, and I told him that I thought we had a couple of cancellations, and that'd be no problem. Tell him to come on out, ask for me or my wife, we'll get him in the premium spot. They show up, you know, and like I said earlier, Friday, we had a little bit of rain, so he hung out inside the parking garage for a while. Well, next thing I know, I hear this sound like a Top Fuel dragster.
Yes.
Going off in the parking garage, and come find out it was him. I thought he was revving the engine up. It was so loud. And when he pulled out of the parking garage, he's coming down to the on the T section, and lo and behold, this guy just figured this was a racetrack. He decided to just light him up. Had the truck going sideways, and so my partner Robbie, he happened to be up there, and he caught the guy, stopped the guy. Took the sticker off the guy's windshield, told him to go back and park the vehicle. Then the guy came back again that night while I was parked in the parking garage, started revving it up again.
Crazy.
Burning out again. I had my judges were in the parking garage. They witnessed the guy doing a burnout coming down one of the ramps in the parking garage. So the next day, they come up to us again, want to know what, you know, does this mean we can't be in the show? Does this mean we can't be in the show? And, you know, we told them, said, you know, strike two. You've already done strike two. They kept begging and pleading. And my buddy Robbie, he was really done with the guy. But he told me, so I'm going to leave it up to you, whatever you want to do. So I told the wife,
mm-hmm.
I said, I'll tell you what, we already ripped off your sticker. So if you want to be in there again, go back and re-register. You can drive the truck in, not your husband. You can drive the truck in and park in a premium spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays there until after awards on Sunday. She had a fit. They didn't want to leave it in there overnight. This was on Saturday. They did not want to leave it overnight. And I said, well, it's not going to leave. If you pulled in there, it's not going to leave. They decided not to do that. They decided to leave it in the parking garage again. And then come Sunday, when they left, I mean, honestly, truly, the wharf management wanted to kick him out. My partner wanted to kick him out. People were tired of them always acting up. They were drunk. And we gave them chance after chance after chance. And then Sunday, when they were leaving, they decided right there at the registration tent to stop and just light them up on the way out.
Are you kidding me?
And we're talking about grown adults.
Yeah, and this was an older guy. And the piece... a couple things that you told me over the weekend. One, you guys gave him another chance, right? I love that third option. You said, hey, here's what we're willing to do. But you brought up a piece to him. You said he mentioned that he comes to another show there. And you put it right back on him, and you said, well, let me ask you this. Would you do that burnout at the Hot Rod show you go to? And what was his answer?
He said he would not do it there. And I said, well, why would you do it there? Why would you do it here and not there? And he just
didn't have an answer.
He didn't have an answer for that one.
Yeah.
And it's the same facility. And all we're doing is asking for the same respect. It's not even so much respecting us. It's respecting the facility so we can come back and have the show.
Correct. Because, you know, who knows if the guy is liquored up and he gets loose. I mean, that truck sounded, like you said, like a Top Fuel dragster. I mean, literally. And, you know, if he hits somebody, then, I mean, it's just everything could go bad. So we definitely appreciate you sharing that story with us. It was a little crazy for anyone that was there. Now, I did want to ask you, Greg, can you give us a rundown on some of the main sponsors that helped to contribute to such a successful show?
Oh, yeah. Sparkles Details. Can't thank them enough. They sponsor all of my events. American Fords, Specialty Fords, Road Armor Bumpers, Bodyguard Bumpers, Fury Tires. I mean, there's a list of them. I can't think of them all off the top. So to be honest with you, I spent this week here, I mean, dozing off all week long. It's taken me all week to catch up, you know, on this week.
Oh, for sure.
That's just because you're so damn old nowadays, Greg. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you're not a young pup anymore, Bubba. Well, come on.
You know, they say Metamucil and Geritol and all that, all this would help you. It doesn't. It does not help.
That's too
now,
funny.
Now, give us a rundown. You don't, and I'm sure you can remember this. We don't need to know all top 75 or any of that stuff, but tell us, you know, who won best of show truck and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, best of show overall went to Cody Barber. He's got the it's like an 85, 86 square body. They call it Silver Fox.
Yes.
I believe Chris Stafford and Popeye's Rod Shop over there, I believe they're the ones that built that truck for him and his dad.
Yes, they did.
Correct.
Yep. And then Sean Randall with Vanilla Ice. He took Best Show Full Size.
Sick.
Yep. Tim and Tanya Morris, they won Best Mini. Best Car went to Ricky Gonzalez Sr. He had a 69 Orange Camaro
with the
LS motor in it. Yep. Really, really beautiful car. Best Engine went to Gary Winnington. He has the red Mustang. He looks like a red Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. And then Best Interior went to Antoine Todd. Antoine had the baby blue. Yep. Old Maggie. Yep. The baby blue Magnum. Let's see, best interior, best paint. Best paint went to Joe Vincent.
Yeah,
boy, Joe Vincent. Yes, couldn't imagine who would have won. And talking about Joe Vincent, man, mad shout out to Joe Vincent because he does some of the best trophies I've seen. Man, we go to car shows all over the place, all over the United States, and hands down, the guy puts out some awesome trophies for you, and he once again killed it at Orange Beach Invasion. And I mean, we got best ofs, we got top 75 for Orange Beach Invasion. And you know, so another question for you, did the red Hummer win anything?
The red Hummer did not win anything. I think they won a top 75, but I think they, you know, for some unknown reason, they've been on the internet, they've been really, really upset.
Oh man! Now I see why you asked.
Photographers that they real upset that one of our photographers only took one picture of it.
Wow!
And you know, and the thing is, we pay the photographers to come out and shoot the show for us to cover the photos and all that. And this person's got all the man. I mean, old Crooked Photography. You know, he advertised for several weeks. You know, if you want a photo shoot, be more than glad to shoot your photos. And these people, I don't know why, they got all upset because, one, they didn't pay for a photo shoot, but they got upset because there was only one picture, and they felt like they should get that free picture. You know, they cranked it up. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was the thing was a beast, you know. I mean, he cranked that thing up, and you can hear it all the way across the show, clear as a bell. But, you know, they got upset.
I got a show that he might want to go to, like Slamfest. Mike, you would love to have him down there, wouldn't you? Like, then, you know, you guys could take photos of it and then play the loud stereo in the non-stereo portion of the show. Sorry, Greg. Inside the building.
Yeah, right inside the building, exactly. And actually, I did see that on social media, so that's why I brought it up about the red homer. And yeah. The sad thing and, about you know, it is it wasn't even him that was complaining. It was people that he knew that were complaining about it.
Correct. I'll say that. It wasn't even him. It was some woman that knew him or something. So
crazy.
But yeah, it was a beast, man. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Based upon how the event went, what was a key takeaway for you with Custom Car Show Productions and Robbie Bryant for Keg Media? Like, is there anything that you guys walk away from a show promoter standpoint and say, hey, this one thing we're going to do again next year, or you know what, this one thing we have to change? This is ODB, and if you're looking for the best detailing products in the business, you need to check out sparklesdetail.com. They have an all-new website, super easy to use. There's also a section there for photos, and coming soon, there's going to be a large photo gallery. There are some photos there today that you can also check out. They're also going to start posting show coverage, and they have show coverage now from Doing It in the Dark 2018. Make sure you go to sparklesdetail.com, and when you check out with the product, make sure you tell them Our Lifestyle the Podcast sent you.
The one thing that I think we are going to change up next year is, and it's just growing pains, you know. It's like I said, the first year we had the main strip and just behind the movie theater. This year we had Marina Lawn area. But one thing we did notice was that our traffic, the people registering into the car show and the people who was trying to get through the main road through there was kind of getting congested. So Robbie and I have talked, and we are inquiring about next year. Not only are we going to rent everything we had this year, but we're also going to rent the entire hotel and the entire convention center. So we have every bit of that, and we can make it flow a lot better.
I see. So yeah, like you said, I mean, second year show going to continue to grow. It sounds like, man, we got to start marking our calendars. Next year's going to be off the hook.
Hell yeah. And so I got another question for you is, how much did you actually pay Sean Randall to be there at your show? Because it really looked like he was like the highlight of Orange Beach Invasion that whole weekend.
Vanilla
from
ice.
Photo shoots to videos. I mean, the man was everywhere. And everywhere on social media, every time I see Orange Beach Invasion, I see Sean Randall. I mean, what did you have to do to get this guy there?
I'll tell you what, man. He's just a good buddy of mine. Sean, he really looks up to me. I'm his mentor, so he follows me around everywhere.
I like that. I like that. Word to your mother.
He followed you everywhere except first class on an airplane, right?
Exactly. No, Sean's a good dude, man.
He is.
One thing about Sean that he will surprise you. That man knows every single person that you could ever imagine. He'll come up to you and tell you he knows the president. If he tells you he knows the president, you can sure bet he has probably sat down and ate dinner with the president.
That's sick. Yeah, you were telling us about Snoop Dogg and stuff earlier. So yeah, that's sick, man. Well, I appreciate you kind of giving us the insight there about the show for next year. Now, Greg, let's say a big club wanted to secure a prime, I think you refer to them as VIP parking spots, like Acrophobia had this year. You know, what would that club or that chapter need to do? It's not that difficult, right?
No, it's not difficult at all. Whenever we announce, you know, like the dates for next year, we give everybody the option to purchase their spot that they already had the previous year. And if they actually have like a week to do it.
Okay.
If they don't purchase some spots, then we, you know, it's just like when you go to book an airline ticket. You know, you go on there, you look at the seating arrangement. Same thing here. You can go on there, you can see what spots are available, and there's all them spots. All you got to do is get with your club and say, hey, we want, you know, C4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you can purchase them all at the same time, and you and your club can all be parked right there on the strip with all the lights and everything. Speaking of clubs, I also do want to mention the Acrophobia is the one that took club participation at the show this year.
Nice. Yeah, they killed it.
Acro Invasion.
Yep.
How many did they have there, Greg?
They had 48.
Damn.
48. Nice. Yeah, no, they definitely showed up and showed out, that's for sure. And what a great group of guys. Well, great group of guys and girls because they do come every year. And but that's not, you know, they go to every show they go to. They seem like they really show up and support, and you know, a bunch of great people. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's sick. Now, I was going to ask you kind of one of the last questions on my mind. I saw your daughter out there helping, and of course, your lovely wife was in attendance, you know, hustling. You know, how do your friends and your family help to put on such a great event?
Man, I'm going to tell you what. I tell people all the time, unfortunately, I'm the ugly face of the car show. My wife and my daughter, they're the backbone of the car show. They're the ones that get everything organized for me. They do all the work. They keep me in line because, Lord knows, you know, if they left us with me, the car show would not run smoothly. And they want it to run great. They come out, they work hard, and I can't thank them enough.
That's great, man. I love to see it. It really reinforces what a good family atmosphere that Mike and I have kind of really reinforced to everyone through the last episode and throughout this one as well. Now, if I remember correctly, I know, like, everybody knows out there that Greg, we've continued to say this through our commercials, he has Custom Car Show Productions, which is four, now five overarching kind of shows. And one of those is Orange Beach Invasion. Now, before Greg, you had one main website, which was like Scraping the Coast Show. But correct me if I'm wrong, you now have an orangebeachinvasion.com, which I'm on now. You've got the American Force official wheel of the event. You've got Sparkles Detail, of course, Tim and Tanya. But is that the best place to go to get info?
Yeah, for Orange Beach Invasion, that's the best place that they need to go to. You know, there you can pre-register. You can, you know, get your premium spots. You know, it won't be long. Robbie and I will be getting that up and running again because right now it's closed. Of course, the show is just
sure.
We just finished the show, but they will update it for 2019. And won't be long that people can go on there and start pre-registering for next year.
Yeah, sick, man.
Definitely. And make sure that you guys definitely do not miss out on next year, Orange Beach Invasion. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. And this is a show that you can bring the whole family to. With that being said, Greg, I think there was a big announcement that was made today about my favorite show of the year that you do put on, Scraping the Coast. Was there a big announcement made today that you'd like to share with the rest of us?
Oh, yeah. We got old Morgan Vire, Morgan Hernandez with Vire, and Tim with Vire. We secured them to be at Scraping the Coast this year. So they are coming out, setting up. I don't know if I need to say yet who they have, what vehicles don't be in their booths, but they are coming out pretty heavy. And they have been longtime supporters of Straight to Ghost. Well, actually, all of my shows, you know, and we're just proud to finally get them out there to the show and let them see what Straight to Ghost is all about.
Hells yeah, Mike. I'm glad you brought that up. Morgan Vire messaged me today, and I was saying, hey, we got to get her back on. You know, I know she's been busy with she's going to get married soon and whatnot. And it's great to see a company like Vire Corp that's got behind Greg Miller and all the shows that he puts on. Of course, our friend Brian with Forbidden. Man, what a great company. If you are out there looking for compressors, you have to get them. Vire Compressors are on top of their game, man. Great company.
Yes, indeed.
That's it, man, for sure. So, Greg, anything else you'd like to share with us, homie?
Man, we're just at this point right here. I have, like I said, trying to catch up on my on some rest. But as of next week, we will be in full force getting ready for Scraping the Coast. It's only 3 months away, so no time to
snooze. You
know, take a break too long. We have to get on it.
Yeah, that's it.
Go ahead and give us those dates for Scraping the Coast, Greg, in case these guys, Airhead Nation, doesn't know.
Yep, June 22nd through the 24th. It's going to be a great show this year, and like I said, we're working on some entertainment. I had a couple of guys planned. We trying to lock down the person who we're going to have playing on stage this year.
Hells yeah. Well, I also want to give a huge shout-out to keg-media.com. So Keg Media syncs up with Greg Miller for this show, and they really joined forces. You know, one thing we didn't spend a lot of time talking about is you have a great mix, and I said this on episode 56, a great mix of vehicles, plenty of lifted vehicles. You know, Robbie's got a big following over with all the SEMA builds that he's built. Then you got Greg mm-hmm. with all the connections that you've got. But when I see Keg Digital Garage or Keg Media as we know it, and I see them sync up with someone like Greg Miller from Custom Car Show Productions with Orange Beach Invasion, it just really is boom. It's a fantastic event. And you best get ready for next year, man, because Greg and team, they keep that pedal stomped to the metal. And we appreciate what you do, homie.
We appreciate y'all helping out, man. Couldn't do it without people like y'all.
Yeah, we keep it going. So, Mike, any parting words for the Airhead Nation before we drop this one on 57?
Hey, Greg, one last thing. Let's give these guys, where do they go to pre-register for Scraping the Coast? Because you do not want to miss out on Scraping the Coast, guys. It by far is my favorite show of the year. So tell them where to go to pre-register for Scraping the Coast.
ScrapingTheCoast.com. You can go on there. There's an icon for, say, register. Click on that. It'll give you the option if you want to register for inside spots or you can register for outside spots. If you register, you get a free show shirt. You save $10 and secure your spot for the show.
Yeah, man. And it's Scraping, as you guys know, S-C-R-A-P-I-N, thecoast.com, all together. You can even scroll down towards the bottom in the Facebook section. You want to make sure you click like on that page. He's nearing in on 40,000 likes on the Facebook page. He's got Twitter. I mentioned that in the past. So they really embrace all forms of media, including my favorite, Instagram. So Scraping the Coast Show. Greg, man, it's always a pleasure.
And everybody who pre-registers, every single person who pre-registers, their name gets thrown into a drawing for a free set of Vire dual pack. You know, again, Vire, we can't thank them enough for always supporting us. Plus, this year, everybody who registers, whether you pre-register, register, whatever, spectator, everybody comes through that gate, gets a ticket. If you buy a show shirt, you'll get a ticket. If you register, you get a ticket. The more tickets you get a chance, you can go to the intro booth. Intro Wheels is giving away a set of 20, I think it's 22s.
Damn.
And any style you want. So if you buy a shirt, you get a ticket. If you register, you get a ticket. The more stuff you do, the more chances you have to win that set of wheels.
I like that. I know Mike's been pre-registering all kinds of shit. And, Mike, you better have your Tahoe there, or I'm going to come swinging on you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
I got on to him about that.
I'm tired of these.
No, you didn't get on to me about that. The boss got on to me about that earlier.
I'm tired of the empty promises, Mike. I'm tired of the empty promises.
I've heard the same excuse for the past 2-3 years now.
Yep. I know. And it's like, dude, you need to rep Mini Madness, dude. You need to come to full throttle, dude. And I'm not talking about in a show doing a burnout either, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Man. Hey, it is green.
Oh, it's green, so I don't want to see no wheel turning.
Well, I tell you what, no disrespect. It's got a sick motor, but it doesn't sound as sick as the other truck. But mine doesn't either,
no,
Mike.
No, it does not. Hey, but guys, thanks for coming on tonight. Greg, we always a pleasure having you, buddy. And we'll definitely be seeing you in a few weeks at Forbidden Fantasy. So Airhead Nation, Scraping the Coast, make sure you check it out, scrapingthecoast.com. Get those pre-registrations sent in. And with that being said, Jay, Greg, Airhead Nation, we out.
This is ODB, and I approve this message. We got you. Peace.
Island of Awesome! But the very best no MC can take.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast. And as you heard from Greg and Mike, we're on episode 57. This is Orange Beach Invasion Part 2 with the big homie, Chris Stafford. We got Chris in the building. What's going down, man?
Nothing much, dude. Just chilling after work, drinking some beer.
Hell yeah, man. I got a chance to sync up with my brother over at Orange Beach Invasion. You had Silver Fox out there. We're going to talk all about it. But for some of the listeners that have seen your name in C10 Builder's Guide, on Facebook, a lot of different show coverage within the magazines. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, Chris? Like, you know, who is Chris Stafford?
I'm just a regular dude, man. I'm married. I got a 5-year-old kid. Work full time for the military, and my off time, me and my friends, all my homies, we just build trucks.
Hells yeah, man. I want to also say thanks for your service. I know you mentioned that, and that's an awesome thing, man. So thanks for what you do, brother.
Hey, no problem, man. I enjoy serving our country.
Yep, and I know you're a proud, military man. So, we tip our cap to you because, you give us the freedom. You help contribute to giving us the freedom of working on these trucks and doing the things that we love. So I don't think sometimes the military gets enough respect. A lot of my wife's family was in the military. And like I said, dude, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. Thanks for the support.
You know it, brother. Now, when I think of, Chris Stafford, I know you hail from Severed, Louisiana. So that's the LA, which I love because I'm Lincoln addict and I love, the West Coast. I think that's pretty cool. Louisiana, you guys have had a lot go down there over the years with Katrina and things like that, but you and a lot of the, I always say this wrong, Louisianians, I think it is, you guys have really prevailed, kept that pedal stomped, and, you've came out and really had, I'll say, like a successful run slash career with building these trucks. Can you tell us just a little bit about, like, what is Stafford's Garage? If you go on Instagram, you see that, but what is Stafford's Garage?
Basically, I built a couple trucks, and then I just had some friends that liked what I was doing, and then, some older guys from around here, and they didn't really know, like, where to go with their projects and stuff, so I just come up with this idea to be, like, a project manager and basically help people with their builds and, like, if they need direction, give them direction. If they, if they want to build a SEMA build, they get with me and we can get together and, come up with a plan and make that happen. And, I just really enjoy the process. And, so that's basically what it is. Just like project management, really, man. And of course I enjoy the classic trucks, hot rods, stuff like that. That's more my style.
That's it, man. I mean, I love it. And I had asked you that. I remember a couple years back, I saw this really awesome, I love the artwork that you have for your kind of little logo, and I saw what you were doing, and I was like, man, this is great. I know you had that military background and kind of that regimen of being able to get things done with timelines and, just that military, as I mentioned, background. And what I see, going through your Instagram feed here is like a lot of really, really nice builds. Lots of things that you're doing with Popeyes, it looks like Rod Shop and that type of thing. Can you tell us about the last post I see on here was the C10 Builder's Guide that has Clyde. Tell us a little bit about that truck, man. I mean, that's so iconic, and maybe the history of why you built it and named it that.
So, man, we drug that truck out of the bayou, out of a buddy of mine's old garage.
Wow.
And, I actually traded him a 59 Apache for it. I had acquired a 59 Apache, and I wanted to build a big window Apache. And then he had this big window, he had this 65 C10. And I drug that thing out, and I looked at it, and it just had this, like, dirt nasty look, and I was like, man, I should call this thing, like, Clyde or something. This just looked like a, just like a rough character, I'm like, so I just named it Clyde, and it just stuck.
That's sick, dude. Well, the truck had so much success, it can't be easy to take a truck like that and move it on to a new owner. So how does that process go down? Are you, kind of balancing, hey, I want to move on to the next big project, or, is it funds related / the drive to want to build something else?
Well, it kind of went down like we got started on Silver Fox. So the backstory on that truck is me and Cody are childhood friends. He inherited his grandfather's truck and wanted to do something with it. He liked my style. So, he pretty much just funded it. And, and they came and they helped me work on it. Also, him and his dad. Mm-hmm. But that turned into that made me realize that I was more in love with the process than I am the actual trucks. I like to watch them go from nothing to something. So I had in my mind, I always really wanted to build a 59 big window Apache, you know, fleet side and all that. So I was like, man, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to sell Clyde, and then that's going to fund my next project, you know, and sure. That's how I have to do it, because like I say, I'm a family man. I work a
yep.
average job, you know, I'm not like some rich dude. So that's how it's got to go. You know, you sell one to build the next one. And, I think that's pretty much the same across the board for most guys, you know, in our scene.
And I love hearing the realness and the truth behind a build like this, because the Airhead Nation, that OLP crew that's out there listening, you know, some of these guys are thinking, man, I look at his profile and I'm seeing all these high dollar builds. But to your point, it is a lot of that hustle and that bustle of putting together a sick build that has great success, that the next guy down the road that's got a lot of money in his bank account, and he goes, I want to have it. And you go, well, you know what? I love the process. I'm itching for the next build. Biggity boom, on to the next one, you know? So it's super sick. Silver Fox, what a beautiful truck. I saw that out at Orange Beach Invasion. And of course, you got the photo posted here. Tell us a little bit about how that truck came about to the caliper. I know you mentioned there, you know, you kind of had a buddy, some folks there that loved your style, but you know, during the process, did it get ramped up even more? Because I mean, that truck is like a high caliber.
It started out, man. You know, a childhood friend. Me and Cody have known each other since literally elementary school.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, he just kind of, you know, he shot me a message one day and was like, "Hey, man, you know, I got this truck that I inherited from my grandfather. You know, he passed away. We want to do something with it. It's just sitting there and it's kind of rotting down." He's like, "I really, you know, like what you did with your truck, you know, if we could, you know, make it as nice as that, you know, and this and that and the other." And then I was like, you know, my wheels got to spinning, and honestly, that's kind of what ramped up the Stafford's Garage thing, you know. And I was like, man, I'm just going to build this truck just like it was mine, you know. And
yeah.
Then basically that's how, if I was to build a square body 84 GMC Sierra, that's exactly what it would look like.
Boom.
So, and it was super cool because him and his dad both got involved. And when it come down to the crunch time, because that was a SEMA build, you know, they were both in the shop and they were both hustling, and they were, you know, and they own probably 10 or 15 businesses in the town that I live in, you know.
Okay.
And that was the big thing, is that they wanted to do something with the truck, but they didn't have the time.
Gotcha.
Well, they really got into it, and they started, you know, that father-son thing started kicking in, and they're like, you know, we want to help too. So they came and they helped me put it back together. They helped me weld and grind, and you know, and when it was over at the body shop, you know, at my buddy Moe's, they helped us, they come over and helped us with whatever they could, and they were just all about it, man. And you know, they really didn't have to be, they could have just foot the bill and let it sit, but man, it was just, that's, I got a lot of heart in that truck, because it meant a lot to me. I really got into it because of the fact that it was like the third generation of mm-hmm. this truck, you know. It had been through a grandfather, a father, and then now a son. So
it gives me chills, man. And I'm looking at your feed and the photo that you posted on November 12th at SEMA. Just the colors and the light. I think it was one that Vyair had captured, our friends over at Vyair Corp. I mean, just mm-hmm. such a beautiful truck. It's got the back, you know, open so you can see the rear suspension. The hood's open. You see the, just the glistening, awesome red interior, which I saw at Orange Beach Invasion. Amazing. It just really is a truck that, to your point, a lot of folks don't realize that there's a lot of people out there that are busy with businesses and things like that. And someone like yourself, Chris, you're the perfect match because you've got connections. You've also, you know, the right people. So, you know, you're a trusted ally in the scene. People can come to you and say, hey, can you help me? And then boom. So I see where your service, if you will, kind of fits in to the overall scheme of things.
Yeah. And it's not even something to where I think that like I'm going to quit my job and do that, you know what I mean, type thing. It's mm-hmm. it's just something that I enjoy doing kind of on the side, you know. And I enjoy seeing somebody that's having a hard time finishing their project or whatever, and then I'm able to step in and kind of lift them up and get them back motivated and give them a helping hand, you know, and get it back going in the direction it needs to be. And
sick,
dude. I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm not gonna stop anytime soon.
That's great, man. We always talk about, and I always talk about, you know, do what makes you happy, live your dreams, and for what you're doing, it's definitely an inspiration to me for you to kind of have your hands in these different projects. Now, speaking of, before we talk about One of the other projects I wanted to bring up, which was the Keg Media rendering and Thunder Chief, I wanted to ask you, you built a real nice, clean, lifted full-size truck that was at SEMA as well. That had to be pretty cool because you're one of those guys, you're not a one-trick pony, so to speak. You're not just building like a Patina C10 or just C10s or just mini trucks. You kind of have your hand in different bags. Can you just give us a quick overview of the lifted truck and kind of where that went on to?
Yeah, so that was actually my daily. And then, you know, I was approached by one of my supporters, Raceline, and they're like, hey, we got this new wheel coming out. You know, it'd be really cool if, you know, we did this SEMA build, and they kind of helped me get my wheels turning on it, because I never thought about the truck as anything more than just like a tow pig, a daily. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I got with Robbie and them, and we did a rendering, and then one thing led to another, and it's like a full-blown project. And I'm the type of guy where I'm not just into mini trucks or low riders or hot rods.
Yeah, you're an auto enthusiast.
Anything.
Yes.
Just anything with wheels gets me going, you know, gets my adrenaline pumping. So, and I was super stoked to just, and I was like, you know, I'm going to put my spin on it. It's going to be exactly what I want. It's going to fit our needs. It's not going to be, something that you look at and you're like, man, there's like, how does that guy drive that thing? You know, who cleans it? You know, it wasn't going to be one of those things where it was just like all chromed out and stuff. I was like, somebody's going to look at that truck and be like, that's a really nice truck, but you could hook a trailer to it and just dig out and still use the truck. You know what I mean? So that was kind of my goal with that truck. And
that's exactly what you did, right?
Yeah. And actually we finished that truck. The morning we were leaving, Joe Vincent was doing some pinstriping on it. And uh-huh. then, we loaded Silver Fox up and headed all the way across the country, you know, from Louisiana to Vegas. And we pulled Silver Fox all the way to Vegas with that truck. And then, you know, and linked up with street trucks in the desert. Shot Silver Fox, and
boom.
You know, it did exactly what we needed it to do.
Yeah, I love it. My dad used to always say, I love it when a plan comes together, and it definitely sounds like one did there. Now, talking about Thunder Chief, I really love seeing the photos. You'll see these if you look up Stafford's_garage on Instagram. You know, you've got that awesome hashtag Thunder Chief. My dad, when I was a kid, he had a 59 Chevy. It was a small back window, step side. And I didn't know a lot about cars and trucks, you know, growing up. But I love that truck, especially looking back at photos. I really connect with this truck. I love it. I love the rendering that Robbie at Keg Media did. Super sick. You got all the top companies in the scene, if you will, you know, on board. Can you give us a little bit of insight about this truck?
So like I said, originally I traded a 59 for Clyde, but yes. The 59 I got rid of was not what I wanted. You know, I wanted a big window truck, and they're not easy to find, you know? And, you know, after I sold Clyde, you know, all I did was post on, you know, like Facebook. Somebody was like, man, what are you going to do next? And I was like, I really like to do a big window Apache. And, next thing I know, Mike Losh hits me up, and he's like, dude, I know where one's at.
Nice.
So he texted me. He got me hooked up with the dude. And it was actually a thing to where I dropped Clyde off to the new owner.
Went up to Fayetteville, Arkansas,
you know, on the way, and picked it up and met with the guy. Super cool dude. Is, you know, we call him Clem Daddy, you know, just joking around. But he's a retired architect that owns Tuba Trucks, and he restores old trucks. And he had a line of these old trucks, man, just lined up against the fence that he planned to restore. And this is Dang. His retirement plan.
Wow.
And me and my buddy Sack went up there, and we spent the whole day with this guy, man. He lives up there in Fayetteville, and his shop is actually an old Sinclair gas station.
Wow, man, we'll have to see some photos of that, man. That's sick.
It was pretty cool. And but anyway, so Thunder Chief is like probably you know, it's just something I always wanted to do. It's not actually a specific SEMA build. Like, I'm not building it for SEMA. Mm-hmm. I'm just building it like I want to. No timeline. It's gonna be the plan is for it to be like the nicest truck I've ever done.
Well, dude, it's working out, because I'll tell you what, just looking at the photos, the is it the powder coat? It almost looks like a a matte type finish on the frame. I love that.
It is. It's powder coat and it's a matte red. And basically everything underneath the truck is done. It runs, it drives. Sick. And it's fixing to get tore down, and it's going to be sent to probably one of the best in the business, Michael Lee in Illinois. My buddy Mo, he's full-blown collision repair guy, so he just that's what pays the bill. So sure. He didn't have time to get to it. So you know, one of my buddies in the club, Michael Lee, he does crazy awesome restoration work. So I'll be bringing it to him in Illinois, and he'll be knocking out the body and paint and get it reassembled. And you know, maybe hopefully in the next year we'll have this thing wrapped up, and it'll be, you know, what we envisioned.
I'd love to do an interview with you on the spot once this thing is finished, do a little bit of video as well. When I look at the motor, I look at, you know, the hard lines going to the bags, and, you know, you got the, you know, the Vire compressors. I mean, it's just really, it just ekes badassness, man. I mean, it is truly a truck that I cannot wait to see, bro.
I'm super excited to drive it.
Hells yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. So one thing, you know, you kind of told us a little bit about, you know, your family and, or excuse me, your, you know, the military piece. And then you told us a little bit about yourself and the Stafford's Garage. Can you give us a little bit of background kind of like on your family? Because you have a child, right?
I do. I have a 5-year-old. Her name's Presley. She's pretty freaking awesome, you know.
Heck yeah, that's a great age, isn't it, man?
It is. You know, me and her have had a lot of fun in the past. Like from 3 to 5, that's like you really need to take time and enjoy your kids between those years, because it's been a great time.
I was looking at old photos with my son last night, and I think it was the first time we took him to Disney, other than when he was like a little baby, because everybody brings their kids to Disney sometimes. Too young, where they don't remember anything. And I was like, man, time really has flown by. He's going to be 13 this October, and it's mind blowing how fast things go, isn't it?
It seems like just yesterday, you know, we found out that my wife Mandy was pregnant, and then like,
boom,
it seems like we blinked our eyes, and then boom, she's 5 years old, and you know, she's going to big girl school and stuff, you know, so. It's crazy. And then she says the damnedest things, you know, kids are crazy.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
And I'm like, what happened to our baby?
Yes.
She's growing up, you know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Well, that's great. Give the family the best there. I know you're a proud papa, you know, and, it's great. One thing I was going to mention too, looking through your feed, kind of talking about trucks and bikes again, I love the photo, the front end Friday that you did, June of last year. There's a white bike with white wall tires, red wheels. The thing is laid out and it's right in front of Clyde. Whose bike was that, man?
That's actually Popeye's bike.
Nice.
It's a sore subject because, you know,
okay.
Yeah, I actually tore the bike up when we did that shoot. So Papa mad at me about that. I'm pretty sure he still hasn't forgiven me for that. But, so yeah, I'm like 200 pounds and he's like 90 pounds. So,
man, you got him working too hard, sweating, man. If Popeye listens to this, we got to get him on and hear the other side of the story.
Yeah. He probably talked bad about me.
Nah, but, just give you our time.
Yeah. But it's cool though, cause he's, he's a really good friend, and he's like, probably he's like the most awesome fab guy I know. Like I can tell him what's in my mind and he can just create it out of nowhere, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I've watched like different interviews, and you know, like musicians and rappers and things like that, or producers, and it's kind of the same thing. I was watching something recently when Timbaland was talking about like Justin Timberlake. They worked a lot together, and Timbaland's like, okay, he'll tell me something, and he goes in my head, he goes, I already know, and he just starts making the beat, and Timbaland's like, yep, that's what I want. I know it's different, but at the same time, it's kind of in the same line, because you guys have that same wavelength, I call it, where, hey, you're envisioning something and you got a good support partner there, boom, he can make it happen.
Yeah, and what's crazy is me and him are usually always, aside from money, you know, he calls me cheap. He says, you know, I buy peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. But aside from money, we're usually always on the same page when it comes to design and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, you're like, damn, I got a budget, man. I got to stick to it.
Yeah, if it was up to him, he would just go absolutely nuts on everything.
Hells yeah, man. That's what's up. But I tell you, man, that red interior, that thing is plush on Silver Fox. And I tell you, man, anytime I'm at a show and I slap hands with you, Chris, I mean, you're a real down the earth, good old American guy. You are passionate about trucks. You show a lot of love to these companies like Roadwire, you know, Leather Interiors, Vi-Air, so on and so forth. And I'm just glad to call you a friend, a broski, a brother. And, man, you just got to keep doing your thing, bro.
Like I said, I don't plan to stop, you know, even with Thunder Chief, even though it's probably my dream truck. You know, there's lots of other cars that I still want to build. You know, if it was up to me, I'd have like a ginormous garage and a little bitty house and just a bunch of cars. But, you know.
Well, going back to one of the, you know, speaking of that, going back to like the Mobster, you know, I built, you know, my buddy built the Bada Bing for me, and that was my truck, the Bada Bing. I always loved your truck and the severed logo you had on it. And I'll tell you, man, you know, even going back to that truck that's famous, the Mobster, the step side, you've always done very clean things, and you've never let anything kind of hold you back. It was like, you know what, I might love this truck, but it's time to move on, and it's time to build something and keep this thing of ours going. So I commend you, bro.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I, like I said, I love doing it. That's what drives me.
So, yeah, I mean, that's awesome, man. Let me ask you just really quick, Chris. What did you think of Orange Beach Invasion? I know you seemed like you were having a great time back there, kind of sipping on, a drink there and just kind of chilling, brother.
Yeah, that is probably, you know, at this point in my life, that's probably the exact thing that I'm looking for in a show. I just want somewhere where I can sit down, I can chill, I can drink a couple beers, hang out with my friends and talk to the people that are there, walk around, check out some of the cool rides, you know, but, and then have plenty to do other than just the truck stuff, you know, cause, I don't know. That location is just awesome. Like I'm definitely going back next year. We enjoyed it this year. We enjoyed it last year. I don't know, man, you couldn't ask for much more, out of a spot.
Yeah, definitely. And you had one of those, I think they're referred to as the VIP spots down the main drag, and that's where that truck deserved to be. It was great. We're going to reshare some of the photos that, you know, were taken of it. We'll make sure we give the photo credit, of course. It just was a great time. And like I said, it's always great seeing you, brother.
You too, man. You too.
Yep. Were there anyone else you wanted to thank as we kind of wrap this one up, homie?
Everybody that helps me make it happen. You know, my wife, you know, my family, Popeyes. You know, all the people that trust me with their cars, and all the people that support me, man, all the sponsors, you know, we have a great time building trucks, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, hells yeah, man. Well, like I said, keep doing your thing. You can find Chris Stafford. You can search for him on Facebook. But Instagram, we all know that's where it's at. It's going down on Instagram. It's Stafford's with an S underscore garage. You know you're already following him, but if you're not, you're straight missing out. So, Chris, just want to say appreciate your time, homie, and we out here, brother.
All right, bro.
I know what you doing. I know what you doing. I know what you like. And I aim to please. I know when we hang. You can't be all over me. If it gets in his brain, it's the grave or the penitentiary.
Damn, here we go again. Dipping in a low, driving in a fast car, or rack double R. Cause I'm a rap star, rolling down Crenshaw to the Fox Hills Mall. I'm in a photo, she was in a Volvo, passing me a turbo, bumping nocturnal. That's how the game go, jumped in the Mac mode, both seen Metro and turned down the back road. Do you have a man? Do you live with him? I ain't trying to waste your time, and this is true, but I am trying to fuck with you. Step light when you move. Keep the street clean, play your cards right so you don't lose. I ain't trying to fuck off your groove. You can still come chill with me, you'll have to choose.
I know what you doing. I know what you doing. I know what you like. And I aim to please. I know when we hang. You can't be all over me. If it gets in his brain, it's the grave or the penitentiary. Don't get blasted. Sick of love and shit, I'm past it. Blasted. More of a fantastic fashion. In the one room mansion, flapping. Pulling in the grab.
and sliding while I'm hitting from behind and sliding in and out and a passion. I was slipping right past him. He couldn't even see it with his magnifying glasses.
Damn, now what we gon' do? Knowing that I stay G, hold it down in these streets and put it down daily. I know you're lonely, you wanna hold me. You don't see your boyfriend rolling behind me. Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. And don't worry about what he ain't done for you lately. Cause he gon' do him, and I'ma do me. I'm up in the spot off cognac and Bailey. I knew you had a man, I knew you lived with him. I ain't tryna waste your time, and this is true, but I am tryna fuck with you.
I know what you want, I know what you want. I know what you like, and I aim to please. I know when we hang, you can't be all over me. If it gets in his brain, it's the grave or the penitentiary.